NHL Draft Class, your leading resource for everything related to the 2019 NHL Draft. I am Adam Kimmelman. Mike Morial, what's going on in your end of the draft world?
It's been great, Adam. I'm glad to be joining you again this week. And to be quite honest with you, it's been exciting watching the World Under-18 Championship over in Sweden. The top draft-eligible prospects are doing so well in this tournament. It's been amazing to see, for instance, Jack Hughes, who we all expect to go number one to the New Jersey Devils. He's been on fire. After three games, he has 10 points already. He had 12 points total in last year's U18, and he won MVP of the tournament. So the fact that Jack Hughes has been able to not only duplicate what he did last year, but it looks like he's going to surpass what everyone thought he might be able to do with all the attention that he's been getting at this tournament.
Yeah, but it can't really be too much of a surprise. You know, after, like you said, he had that dominant tournament last year, did we really expect him to be anything less than dominant now that he's had a year of experience and he's played against, I mean, technically he's played against older competition all season, going against NCAA players, USHL players. So, yeah, I mean, it's been incredible to watch. And Cole Caulfield, another one, you know, the 5-7 scoring dynamo who, you know, he's got 11 goals already in four games. He's real close to Alex Ovechkin's record for the tournament of 14 back in 2002. He's got, what, three more games left at least? You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he's breaking a record held by a guy who's top 50 in the NHL. Now, obviously not saying Cole Caulfield's going to be that kind of a goal scorer, but if you're in the draft and you're looking for a guy who can fill the net, Cole Caulfield absolutely has to be a guy you're looking at, where he's having this kind of production against players his own age. You know, what's he going to be like when he gets to the NHL? I mean, Cole Caulfield certainly is doing the most that he can to make an impact on the NHL scouts that are watching this tournament.
And that's the thing. I mean, you hear so much talk about the size of players so often. NHL scouts might mention it. NHL Central Scouting might, you know, list the players according to what they're able to do in their leagues and what they're, you know, how good they are in certain points in the season. But I tell you, you know, Cole Caulfield, for being a player, you know, sub 5'10", you see what the NHL has been able to produce so many times with the Johnny Gaudreaus, the Alex DeBrincats, even a player like Patrick Kane, it was 5'10". So these smaller players, they're no longer looked at as, you know, being pushed around or maybe won't have the impact that some of the taller players have. And let's face it, Adam, you know, there have been taller players, players with stature, that haven't been able to develop the right way with certain teams or in certain leagues. But if you find a player that's a pure goal scorer, a natural goal scorer, and he's doing it, you know, with the NTDP or in the CHL or in college programs, there's no doubt that he should be able to, with the proper development, be able to carry that over, possibly in the NHL, maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And in a player like Cole Caulfield, you're seeing that a dynamic player who seems to know when to use his weight, how to shift his weight when he collects a pass. And yes, he's playing wing on a line with Jack Hughes, and that's a benefit to him. But you have to be able to produce if you're with a Jack Hughes. And Cole Caulfield is proving that he can play with elite players and produce.
Well, that's the same argument they made about Alex DeBrincat before he got to the NHL, right? Oh, he scored 50-something goals with Erie in the Ontario League because he's playing with Connor McDavid, and, you know, you could put a bag of pucks out there and they would score 50 goals playing with Connor McDavid. Well, the next year he comes back and he does it again, this time with Dylan Strome as his center. Well, then he does it again a third year where he doesn't have a name brand guy helping him. And I think Cole Caulfield kind of falls into that same realm. He's not producing because he's Jack Hughes' line mate. He's played with other guys. He is a special, special goal scorer. Maybe the best pure goal scorer in this year's draft. So, you know, I know we did our mock drafts a few weeks ago. I believe we all had him going in the top 10. I think you can make a case that he should be a top 5 pick just because of the talent and the goal scoring ability. And I know we talked about Jack Hughes a little bit, but, you know, he's got, what, 13 points already through four games? He's got a shot to break Phil Kessel's record for most by an American-born player at this tournament. I don't know if there was any question that he would be number one, but I think if there were anybody sitting on that fence, if Jack Hughes could be the best player available in this year's draft, there's nothing that you've seen in this tournament that's going to make you think otherwise. He's the most talented player.
It's good for Kaapo Kakko, who was number one in Central Scouting's international ranks of skaters. Kapo is going to play in the World Championship with the big club, the Finnish, you know, Finnish national team, and he'll be playing in Slovakia in May with that team. So usually a player that's his age would be playing in this U18, so we might have gotten to see the head-to-head battle again, but we're not going to see that. So Jack Hughes, in his own way, and what he's capable of doing with the elite skating, the compete, the IQ, he's doing what everyone expected, but in my eyes, probably exceeding some expectations because he has a bullseye on his back this year. Last year, he came in as a 16-year-old playing in that U18 tournament. I don't know if a lot was expected of him, but he did score 12 points, which was very, very impressive in gaining MVP. This year, he's entering the tournament first-line center, bullseye on the back, and teams are expecting him to be the man, and yet he's still doing it. So to me, Jack Hughes is the player that if you're picking number one in this draft, and I know the Devils are going to do their due diligence in who they want to pick here, but I think Jack Hughes being a center, showcasing the talent that he has at this tournament, his big final tournament of the season, is definitely a feather in his cap.
I guess we'll have to wait till the first Devils-Rangers game of next season to see Hughes and Kako one-on-one, assuming, you know, everything holds to form, and we're thinking, you know, the Devils at number one are going to take Hughes, Kako at number two to the Rangers. But that's for down the road. Let's bring in John Williams from NHL Central Scouting, talk about some of the best prospects in the Western Hockey League. John, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Very good, John. Thanks a lot for joining us. You know, John, first off, Saskatoon center Kirby Dock goes about 6'3", 197. He's number three. Lethbridge center Dylan Cousins, 6'3", 180, number five on Central Scouting's list. They would appear to be the best draft-eligible centermen from the CHL this season, but how close is Peyton Krebs? Goes about 5'11", 180 of Kootenay.
Yeah, I don't think Peyton's really that far behind. I mean, he was the first overall pick in the Western League draft, you know, in that age group. He's a very good player out of his own right. I think, you know, he's showing right now at the under-18s as well that, you know, he belongs in that, close to that group, if not in that group. You know, he's the captain of that team. He was the captain of the team in the Hlinka. You know, the thing for him was in Kootenay, they had a tough year this year. Not a lot of support for him there. He was the captain of that team as well and, you know, faced everybody's best players every night. And he brings a little bit different element than those other two guys. They may have because of their size and skill and, you know, that they're, you know, so the deadliest word in scouting, they have maybe more upside than he does, but I think he's a very good player in his own right.
Vancouver defenseman Bowen Byram is number two on the final rankings. How close is he to being NHL ready to jump into a lineup? Is it next season? Does he need a little bit more development time?
Well, you know, I think just throwing him in next year, I think he could probably handle it. Whether that's the best thing for his developer or not is, you know, is a completely different story, I think. And you know, he came into the Western League, you know, it's a little bit different here where players at the age of 15 have been drafted. They can come and play five games, and then once their season's over, they can join the team full-time. And so he did that, and, you know, as a 16-year-old, he stepped in really and made himself a top-pair defenseman on that Vancouver Giants team. And, you know, obviously in this year, he's been just a dominant player. And so I think he could physically handle it and skill-wise could handle it. Is it the best thing for him? That's up to somebody above my pay grade to figure out.
It's always tough to think about an 18-year-old defenseman playing in the NHL. But sticking with defense, I want to ask you about Lassie Thompson from Kelowna. First year over here in North America after playing in Finland. How has he kind of fit in, and what have you liked about his game, you know, making that move from the bigger ice in North America to the smaller ice in Kelowna in the Western League?
You know, he really transitioned quite well. Like, I didn't know a lot about him when he came in. I think he might be one of those guys who's actually better in playing in North America than he is on the big sheet. Now, I haven't seen him play on the big sheet, mind you, but you know, he wasn't a guy that our European guys had tagged as a, you know, A or B prospect to start off with. So I wasn't really expecting, you know, anything. But the first thing you notice about him, or I did anyway, was that he's a game breaker. He has that game breaker mentality where he wants the puck. He wants to be a difference maker. He wants to score. He wants to make plays. He's jumping into the offense. And as he grew a little bit more comfortable and confident in Kelowna, he really, I thought, took off and was a really important part of that team. And he got injured at the end of the year, and I think it really, had he been healthy, they would have had probably a more likely chance of making the playoffs.
Brett Leeson is an interesting player here, ranked number 25 in the final rankings. Good power forward type, a lot of good shooting, has good passing ability. Passed over in the previous two NHL drafts. It looks like not only is he a lock this year to go in the first round, but possibly somewhere, you know, late, mid to late first round. So is it fair to call him maybe a late bloomer?
Yeah, I think that's a fair statement. He was a guy that we've always had some time for, and I think talking to scouts from, you know, team scouts and that, you know, he always appreciated a kid that has that size, and he's always had the good hands. He just had trouble with the pace. Originally when he was in Tri-City, he was sort of down in the lineup. They had a pretty good team, you know, pretty good set of forwards there at the time, and he couldn't get his way through to the top. And I think he realized, you know, a kid deserves a lot of credit. He realized that his own game needed to improve in that way. He needed to improve his skating. He had to get faster. And he worked, obviously, very hard at that and improved a great deal. And this year, you know, he's been just a dominant player. I've seen him quite a number of times in his league, but I also saw him play with the Western team against the Russian team for two games. And they played a fast game, and he was as good as anybody there. He was getting in behind people. He's so big and strong, but he's also now got an element of speed in his game. And he's a really interesting guy. And I think, you know, it just sends a great message too to everybody else that not getting drafted is not the end of the world. There's more opportunities.
Hey, John, just following up with that, in that mold of players being passed over in previous drafts and having an opportunity this year to be drafted, forward Luca Berzin, number 126 of Brandon, and defenseman John Ludvig, he's number 128 of Portland, are in that same situation as Leeson in terms of getting passed over. I know Ludvig, watching video of him, the guy's like a Scott Stevens type, a real physical type defenseman, likes to hit, likes to play a hard, heavy game. What do you like about Berzin and Ludvig?
Well, both guys, you know, we had on our list last year, had decent years. I think John Ludvig's game sort of tailed off a little bit in the second half of his rookie year. Again, he was on a pretty good Portland team, and he couldn't, you know, play in their top six on defense. So they actually had him playing on the wing in the second half at times. And I think that just kind of hurt his chances of getting drafted. And I believe, you know, he is another guy that worked hard at his skating. He got quicker, faster. There's no fear in his game. He is good to go anytime and creates a lot of space for himself. A little bit of an old school player in that way, but you know, he's also improved on his puck game and his speed and quickness. And same with Berzin, you know, like he's a guy who could always had good speed, but wasn't always, you know, finishing when he should. And this year he really improved in that regard. I think he was over 40 goals or something. So both guys have taken a step this year, and that's why they have a chance to get drafted this year.
Hey, John, Nolan Foote is someone who's going to get a lot of attention because of his name. He's the son of two-time Stanley Cup champion Adam Foote. His brother is Tampa Bay Lightning top prospect Callan Foote. Obviously, he had a very productive season. He's got NHL-ready size at 6'3 and 190. He's got a second-round grade in Central Scouting's final rankings. But what have you liked about his game when you've watched him?
Well, he's a guy that I think has also improved his overall game. You know, he came into the league. He's been a good player in the league, you know, for a couple of years already. And he's got a great shot. He's got size, as you said, and he's shown that he can score. This year, the team wasn't as good, and he was put into a bit of a different role than he'd had in the past. He had to do a lot more in terms of playing in all situations, and he's become a very good penalty killer. He's got that great reach, good hand, and the hands that go with it, so he can make plays defensively as well as offensively. big body that's just hard to handle. And I think his overall game has really improved. And I think he's a guy that potentially could play sort of up and down your lineup because of that.
Now, I know goalies are generally the purview of your colleague at Central Scouting, Al Jensen, but I want to ask you about Matt Sogard from Medicine Hat. He's number two on the final ranking of North American goaltenders. First season over here in Europe. Obviously, the 6'6" frame stands out, but when you've scouted Medicine Hat, when you've watched him, what have you liked about Sogard?
He's actually 6'7". I think he got measured at the midterm, at the prospects game at 6'7". What really impressed me for a guy his size at his age is his ability to recover. He's so good getting post to post laterally, but he's also, you know, if he gets down, you know, if he's down on his knees on a shot, he's back up very quickly, squaring up, getting in the right position to make the next save. And I think that for a guy his size at his age, that was very impressive for me.
Hey, John, as a former assistant director of scouting for the Blue Jackets, I was hoping you might be able to shed some light on what is going on just prior to making a pick at the draft table. Is there any last-minute debate before deciding on a choice, particularly in the mid to late rounds?
Well, I would say, yeah, it really depends on where you're picking. And I think, obviously, in the first round, things go quite a bit slower. You have more time and, you know, you pretty well have a better idea, I guess, of where you're at, unless you're, you know, if you're making trades, that kind of changes everything too. And this, you know, on the second day, rounds 2 through 7, things go really quickly, and there's always aspects that you're trying to deal with. You know, you need to have a few names ready just to see how things sort of come to you. And again, the phone's ringing, potential trades maybe are going to happen. You know, guys from all around the table, you know, they'll come up and they have a guy they think that, you know, you should be taking right now. We need to take him right now. So you've got all these kind of things going in at some time. And some teams will stick really, you know, right to their list and just next name. And when I was with Columbus, it was more of a, we sort of kind of went with how the draft was going, maybe tried to, you know, maybe if, again, you know, like when goalies start going, it sort of maybe do something a little bit different, or you've taken three centermen in a row, you need to get a defenseman. Those kind of things come into play as well. So there's always debate going on.
Just real quick, too, I'm curious, what is the scouting season like for you beginning, you know, in the summer? I know things usually ramp up, not only for the upcoming draft, but 2 years down the road, you guys are looking at prospects. So, like, from August, say, like, from August on, what is, like, an itinerary kind of look like or shape up for you during the course of a season?
So it kind of goes year round, you know. As you know now, things have changed a little bit that way. But so we start off, you know, with myself going into the under 18 Canada camp in Calgary. Other scouts that are live in the eastern part of the country will go and see the under seven or the select 17s in the U.S. in Buffalo, and track those players getting ready for the Hlinka tournament, which goes on in August. That's always a big thing to start things off. You know, we'll send a couple of guys to that tournament. Our European guys, when it's in Europe, will be there as well. And then, you know, come September, you're sort of getting back into regular season. Things are starting to, you know, get going out here. The BC Hockey League has started. They have the showcase tournament. So, you know, we go to the showcase tournament. We do all the heights and weights for all the teams. The Western League has, which is fortunate for me, they have a lot of sort of mini tournaments. And again, we go in there, get an early look at some players, but you also get to do all their heights and weights. And then, you know, the regular season starts, and before you know it, it's Christmas time.
That's an amazing schedule. You know, I make the joke, scouts could, you know, you're talking to a scout when he can tell you the five best sushi joints in Medicine Hat. That's how you know you're talking to a scout.
Maybe not sushi. Well, I guess the younger guys would be more into the sushi joint.
Well, John, thank you for coming on and sharing your insight with us on NHL draft class.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, John.
John Williams from NHL Central Scouting, Western Region Scout, covers the Western Hockey League. Always interesting stuff getting his insight.
Absolutely, Adam. 39 WHL players ranked among Central Scouting's final 217 skaters in their final list. And 12 among the top 50, 8 among the top 31. So a real good year for the Dub, including, and we spoke to Dan Maher, the NHL director of Central Scouting on a previous episode of NHL Draft Class, and he told us that Braden Tracy, you know, made such an impact on them over the second half of the year. Braden Tracy, that is, of Moose Jaw, had such an impact that they moved him from 73 in the midterm to 21 in the final ranks. And Braden Tracy is proving the boys over at Central Scouting right. I mean, here's a guy, 4 goals, 6 points for Canada at the U18 so far. He's lighting it up. He's playing in a top six role. He's looking every bit the player that Central Scouting thought he could be.
Yeah, Western Hockey League really is going to, you know, we talked a lot about the NTTP kids the early beginning of the show. The Western Hockey League, 8 in the top 31. They had 4 in the first round in the final rankings last year. So a huge step up in the talent level there. You know, and we're going to hear it when we get to Vancouver, because there's going to be, you know, we mentioned Kirby Dach and Dylan Cousins, Braden Tracy, Lassie Thompson, who's also going to go early, Bowen Byram, most likely the number one defenseman coming off the board.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's a great year for the Dub. I think all these players will probably need some a little bit more development, a little bit more, you know, as they call it, marination in where they are, marinating in certain leagues. They're all going to be potential NHL players, future stars in this league. Maybe Bowen Byram, as you know, you asked John Williams the question about him possibly being NHL ready right after the draft. We'll see. I mean, he'll probably go to training camp, whichever team does take him, and he will make an impact. But personally, I think maybe Bowen needs another year in Vancouver to kind of get that development going, be a little bit more mature in what he needs to do along the blue line.
You're going to hear a lot more about Bowen Byram as we get closer to the 2019 NHL Draft in Vancouver. That'll do it for this week's NHL Draft Class. Reminder, subscribe for free anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also catch NHL Fantasy on Ice, the NHL Executive Suite. From Mike Morial.
Always a pleasure, Adam.
I'm Adam Kimmelman. Thank you for listening. Until next time, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.